friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind Podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, and pop culture. I'm your host this week, Brian, and we're here to make you cringe, because we're talking about the increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret. Joining me as always, he left a mountain of tuna in his apartment for his cat when he went away and did not go well. It's Kyle.
Yeah, speaking of mountain of tuna.
I don't know what to do with that.
the commitment to the bit. Oh, it's a good one, love. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's well done.
Also, this is what I sound like when I'm not doing that voice. So when I drop it in a few minutes.
It's quite refreshing to hear somebody stay committed to the bit and not get the
you gotta really lean in sometimes. Mm-hmm. If you can't get the job done. Yeah. If you can't get the job done, he'll have you selling bananas in Kazakhstan across from the best banana stand. It's Ryan.
Oh, man. This quote is, I don't know how to yes end with this one. How are you doing?
That there's always money in the banana stand.
God damn it. No, Michael. Yep.
And finally, he's been known to get into a little bit of trouble with suspected terrorists, counterfeit money, and an allegedly toxic energy drink. It's Sean.
Do you think that it's only okay to do this accent because it's a predominantly white area of the world, or so we're led 100%. To believe?
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Can also make it seems a little Italians. Racist, but okay.
A bippity-boppity.
Yeah, what's...
Culturally what's race, insensitive. Though?
Culturally insensitive, you say? All right. fuck them.
I'm so glad we didn't bring this energy into The Handmaiden or Jackie Chan. Sure.
Can't wait until the next Antonio Banderas movie. Let's go, boys.
Listen, you can't get canceled for doing a British accent. We used to be part of them.
I've told this story before, I think, but I used to work with this lady who was from Kenya, Africa. I loved her. She was so sweet and so funny. But one time she was talking about another co-workers of ours, and she did like the click from Africa thing, and she laughed and she said, I can do that, you can't.
Let me ask you something, like, Brian. Go on. Finish up.
That was it. That was just funny. Oh, okay. She was right. She could do that. I could not do it. And she laughed
it's
about
not
it.
Not allowed, yeah.
So let me pose something to you, Brian. So if it's okay for us to do it, because, you know, that's part of our culture and our history, and we used to be a part
and
of
our
that.
Our heritage. Yeah.
It's part of our heritage. How do you feel about, I don't know, maybe someone from Australia, bad example, someone from South Africa doing a London accent? How do you feel about that?
It's not I don't get offended culture. When anybody do you get offended? Does a London accent. There's no person on this planet that could do a British accent, and I'd be like, oh, how dare you?
Yeah. In all instances, it's great and generally pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just as like when somebody does a Southern accent, hilarious, always. The less Southern they are, the more funny it is when they do it.
Well, you get that molasses in your mouth.
I actually, when I was working at Home Depot in college, there was a guy from Australia. I spent a summer in South Carolina working in the garden center. And this guy was from Australia, but had lived in South Carolina for years. So his accent was a combination of South Carolina and Australia. And it was impossible to understand a word this man said, but it was so much fun because his name was also Brian. So he'd come in and be like, oh, yeah, you're going to buy Brian too, right? Like, what?
Wow.
Jimmy, yeah, right?
What? Sounds like you've got a mouthful of chewing tobacco full of dungaroos.
Yes. Dungaroos. Combination pant and graham cracker
treat. I did enjoy
treat.
That dungaroos bit, but I'm very glad it wasn't recorded.
I don't even think Brian was here for the dungaroos bit earlier.
Brian was not here for the dungaroos bit, but you can tell by Ryan's reaction you didn't miss anything.
All right, The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret. It's a show. It's now streaming on Amazon and Tubi and Roku and all sorts of fun stuff. Came out 2010. It is created by David Cross. He is the writer of a lot of this, along with Sean Pye. They created this little series. Also stars a lot of people like Will Arnett, who you might have heard of. This guy over here, right? And Sharon Horgan, Blake Harrison, who we talked about in the Inbetweeners. A lot of good people on this. Let me tell you what this show's about. Let me give you a basic little whisper of, hey, here's what's going on here. Todd Margaret receives an unexpected promotion and is put in charge of the UK launch of a new energy drink called Thunder Muscle. He breaks up with his... I'm reading the wrong part already. Todd Margaret is unqualified to sell anything. But that doesn't stop the part-time office temp from being tapped to lead the London sales office of a new energy drink, Thunder Muscle. Todd, of course, is a compulsive liar, lacks any common sense, and knows absolutely nothing about British culture. Todd's new boss, Brent, expects big results, but his only employee, the mysterious and devious Dave, takes advantage of Todd and often makes him look foolish. Cafe owner Alice becomes the object of Todd's affection, and although she finds him annoying and unattractive, pity moves her to help him deal with the many jams he creates. That's the basic premise of the show. Basically, he got David Cross's Todd Margaret, and he makes poor decisions, and they become increasingly more poor decisions as the series goes on. We're going to do this the same way that we did the Inbetweeners. We're just going to break it down by episode. We're each going to give each episode a score out of 5, and we'll figure out what we think of this season at the end.
Okay.
First, I got to ask, boys, how many of you have actually seen this show before? Looks like it's Kyle and Ryan. So this is fresh for Sean.
Yeah.
Have you seen it before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched this when it aired and was very excited when season 3 came out unexpectedly. Same. 4 years after the end of season 2. And yeah, I wish they would do more. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's done.
yeah, let's break this down by episode. Episode 1 is called In Which Claims Are Made and a Journey Ensues. This is the episode where Todd receives the unexpected promotion, breaks up with his quote-unquote girlfriend, leaves a mountain of tuna for his cat, travels to London. Once he's there, he lies about his father's death. And his summer's growing up in Leeds, and also Leeds. His luggage gets blown up. He gets belligerent on energy drinks, offends a bunch of locals, and pisses himself. What'd you boys think of this one? Let's actually start with the newbie. Let's have Sean kick it off.
Holy hell. Guys, I don't want to jump ahead here, but I can't believe that I just watched a series over the span of the last 24 hours where I watched a man pee himself at least twice and at poo least. Himself. And that starts here. Sarah, by the last episode, had said something that really wrapped up how I felt in this first episode, where she said, I've never seen a show that is more cringe than this is. And then refused to watch anything more than the first season, which she's never done before. Like, put down a hard line, I'm not watching any more of this, which is wild. Now, with that being said, there is so many times of this where I think I sent to you guys, this show is fucking hilarious about 3 minutes into the show. And then I spent the rest of the episode just kind of going, just feeling like really gross and like there is bugs under my skin. Which I hated, but also enjoyed immensely. I am fascinated by this character of this man who just like has no backbone to the point where he's listening to an audiobook to try like a self-help, but he becomes attached very easily to people. He's very, he's, you said he's a compulsive liar. Like, this man is so fucking fucked. It's not even funny. Like, not even funny. I thought that this was a great episode to hook in. I think there's actually better episodes in this season to really get you hooked in. It's a nice introduction to the characters, but I don't think it does as good of a job as the other ones in getting you being like, oh, I gotta watch another one of these. Which is weird considering it's the pilot. But yeah, I enjoy. Am I giving you a rating right now?
Yeah, out of 5.
Okay. Couple quick things in here. Love David Cross's Todd Margaret. I love Sharon Horgan as basically a Catherine Keener in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yes.
In Alice Bell. I really love that. Blake Harrison. You mentioned something prior to us recording where it was the same as the Inbetweeners. And I was like, holy fuck. How did I not even recognize him? And until like the last season or whatever, or episode of that, he was the most redeeming character of that. Anyways, out of 4. Man, they just get so much better than this first episode. I'm going to give it a... It's out of 5, yeah. Are we doing halvesies or just full?
Do whatever you want. Whatever feels right. There's no rules.
3.5. I'm going 3.5. And Brian, I want to hear from you.
Okay. I think this episode is fantastic because it does an excellent job of setting the stakes. And giving you an idea of the tone of the show immediately. They start off with last time on Todd Margaret. And like, at the time, that's fine. It's a good joke. It's a good bit. But like, watching streaming, you're like, oh fuck, did I start the wrong episode already? I had to go back in. Yeah. But such a good bit is like, last time on Todd Margaret. Oh wait, but they start off every episode the same way with there's like a court proceeding and Todd Margaret is on trial and they're listing out the charges against him in every episode. And it's so good because it sets the tone immediately for like, all right, this is going to escalate in a way that's going to be a lot of fun. And then it goes, 14 days ago and puts you into the story, introduces these characters in a way that you're seeing how this can go wrong before it gets truly out of hand. Like, some goofy shit happens in this first episode, don't get me wrong, but like, you can tell how it can escalate. And there's like, you get some redeeming qualities from these characters, but not a lot. It's just enough for to be like, okay, I see what you're doing. I like it a lot, just as a tone-setting episode. As a pilot, I think it works. It makes me want to watch more. But I do agree with Sean, there are better episodes in the season. And I think a 3.5 is actually absolutely spot on for this. And I'm going to throw it to Ryan, because he looks very surprised that I said that.
Just, you were both very positive on it, and I anticipated a higher number. Because I'm going to go higher. I'm going to give it a 4. Pretty much for the same reasons I think you both said, which is I think it's a really good, solid introduction to the season. It does a good job of setting the tone, kind of setting a lot of the characters up. It does a lot really quickly. But the best episode, or the best joke of the entire episode, for me at least, is the coda at the very end, which is the return to the apartment. And which was kind of the hook. It was like, oh, that's right. This show gets real dark. I forgot. And that kind of was like, all right, I'm in. Let's go back into more. And as Sean said, there are, I think, much better episodes later on in the season. So that's why it's not going to be higher. But I think it's really solid. I think it's a great pilot that kind of sets the tone. But like Arrested Development, I think it's also a show that builds on itself. So I do think it gets better as it goes. So like, mm-hmm. We're going to start off in the 4 for me. So I understand the 3.5, but be slightly higher. I'm going to go with 4. Which leaves Kyle.
It does. And I agree with everything you say. And for that reason, I'm giving it a 3. Because I do think it is a fine baseline episode. And there are much better ones, and it does build to much better things. I appreciate that it does set up everything so damn quickly, and it doesn't fuck around. Another theme that becomes very prevalent throughout and is almost tailor-made for me, but weirdly enough to a point sometimes even I found a lot of it excessive, is this, as you would expect from David Cross, is comedy cringe completely distilled. The one that it really builds into the cringe of just sitting in a moment. It just, so many of these cringe moments are like you just farted in a room and everybody is sitting in it and they are looking at you, and it breathes,
was not silent.
And permeates. It's crazy, like how it just like is not afraid to stay in the moment. And there's I think it's like episode 4 or 5 where it does it like the best it's ever done, and I can't wait to talk about it there. But as a baseline episode, crazy, even still directed by the Russo brothers. Got to talk about that. And another tie-in from the Arrested Development. I can't think of a smart word to say here. History, which is also why, of course, Will Arnett's here. Those two just love working with each other. And but yeah, a 3. So.
Illusions, Michael. A trick is something a whore does for money.
Or listen here, douche nozzle. You gotta sell this fucking energy drink. I need money. He's terrible.
Man, Brent is Job turned up to like 42. Like, oh, I don't know how you can take Job and just like somehow extrapolate it out to like the nth degree where nth
you
is
keep the
4 fail
son
billion.
But take away the rich dad.
Yeah. He's God, he's damn. A douche in Hot Rod. He is somehow even turned up here. Like in Hot Rod, he's I still worst. Like him. He's a douche, but I still like him. This is the first Arnett performance where I'm like, I don't know that I like you. This is going to be
a
hard one.
A lot.
You're funny, but I don't like you, man. I don't, you're Arnett, not likable.
There's not a single thing that he says that makes you feel for him. Even like the reveal
Arnett
that we'll get
more
to.
Than Todd, or I guess David Cross throughout this rewatch, I will admit.
Interesting.
I liked Arnett more than Cross on this rewatch.
I think
disagree more.
I think Brent as a character is more sincere than Todd as a character, because I think Brent is just like he's fully embraced that dickhead side and lost his tepidness. But
no, I still feel like it's an act.
Yeah, it's an act that he's like maybe lost the plot of. Like he's gone like too deep, and now he's lost.
He's too committed.
He's
but
too
I wouldn't
deep
say it's
again.
Necessarily...
I'll talk more about it. I think in like episode 4 or 5.
Yeah, somewhere
Todd
around there.
Todd 2.
We'll get there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Episode 2. A plan is hatched, and a date is not a date. These episode titles are like Fall Out Boy songs with how long they are.
The next one's a killer.
I had to change the font size originally on the cheat sheet for the next one.
To fit it?
Yeah. Episode 2, under pressure from boss Brent Wiltz to sell the drink, Todd concocts a plan to sneak cans into a retail store, leaving the execution to Dave. Dave leaves a bunch of product on the shelves of a small local grocery, quote-unquote, called Sainsbury. Todd believes he is going on a date with Alice, stops to buy condoms, acts inappropriately, only to find out that this is not a romantic encounter. And then, of course, back at the Sainsbury, when the product is flagged as dangerous, removed, legal action is threatened. Todd, who is still on what he thinks is a date and trying to be a big shot, tells them that he will see them in court. You can see here where the escalation is going. This is... as it goes from episode 1 into episode 2, you really understand, okay, this is going to ramp up in every episode. He's going to get himself in more and more trouble by covering his own lies or trying to impress people that he doesn't need to impress, that aren't going to be impressed no matter what he says or does. And it's just going to keep getting worse and worse for this person. And man, it's so much fun to watch this downfall in the way that's like... You're sitting there the whole time like, no, don't do it. No. And then he does it. And boys, I think for this one, I am I'm actually still going to be at a 3.5. I thought I was going to go up on this, but I don't think this is actually as strong as the pilot. I think it dips a little bit here, even though it is doing an escalation. I do think this one is a little more. What's the word? I don't want to say smarter than the first episode, because this one has like a reveal in it with the Sainsbury thing. Even if you are aware with Sainsbury as like, you know, one of the biggest supermarket chains in the UK, it's when Todd Margaret discovers this that you really get that feeling of like, oh, okay, yeah, we're doing something here. 3.5, and I will send it to Kyle.
I'm coming up on this episode, but also to the 3.5. I do like this episode a lot, primarily because I think this is where Dave really comes out and starts to shine. Because he is... I also love that it sets Todd up of being a dick for no reason to Dave just because he has a subordinate, and just the immediate way that power goes to Todd's head, and that Dave is just...
That's a written
You can
warning,
see him like taking it, he's like, okay, dickhead, sure. Oh, yeah, I can tell you where to go to get an outfit that is going to impress your date. Absolutely. Here, you want to go here. So I really enjoy that. I also really love that he just takes the drink in and sets it up, and then somehow a kid gets sick. This sets up another great thing I do love about the series overall is that so many like big plot points are happening in the background on like the TV or the radio that like, it's almost like Shaun of the Dead, and I think it's pretty great, just like typical expression of like British style humor, where like it's like almost sort of deadpan, like things happening in the real world that you're experiencing. And I just love that. And that our first real example of that is the kid drinking it and getting sick, and like that setting up the whole thing with the supermarket and why he needs to get the 10, or he tells the guy to get the 10 lawyers, and he likes his lawyers from Young and...
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Young and...
Young and Legal?
Legal? Or Young and Legal, like, yeah. Again, Dave,
Young,
man.
And Not.
Dave coming through as the highlight character with...
Young
so
and Not.
Does legal. So much with so little. And I fucking love, again, I didn't know... I saw this before I ever saw Inbetweeners, so on this rewatch, seeing that it's Blake Harrison, I was like, that's why I like this character so much the first time I saw the show, because he's a good actor. He's really fun at just being that somewhat smarmy douche. So a long-winded way to, I should have held the 3.5 to the chest, but I came out swinging with it. I'm going to kick it again to the newbie, Sean.
Man, Brian, you said something that I wanted to bring up here, is that... this episode does not hit for me as well as the first one, like you said, and you were searching for something, you know, it's smart and blah, blah, blah. For me, this is such a setup episode. It is like the setup episode for like the following four episodes. And so like naturally it just can't hit as hard as the other ones. And I think it is a little bit less impactful than the first one. And that's not a bad thing. Like, I still think it is a really good episode. I absolutely adore the dynamic of Todd and Dave. Though, Kyle was saying how he is with a subordinate. And I will counter with, from what we learn through a certain photograph you see later, he is someone who, when he's in a position of control or power, he is not the greatest person in the world, which hopefully I'll remember to bring that up in whenever he brings out the photo of the girl he thought he was dating. So with that, man, Dave's the best part of this show. Holy fuck. I'm giving this a 3. I am dipping down a little bit. I think that's the look. Gonna reveal my hand. I think that's the lowest that I'll give. Go.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Mirroring you, I think this is going to be the lowest I dip for the season as well, but it is going to dip for my first one too. I'm going to give it a 3.5. And now I will state reasons. Here are reasons. I kind of agree with what you all said. This is another building one. We're still kind of getting all more pieces on the board and kind of getting everything building. This is going to be the controversial take. I don't seem to love Dave as much as you two love Dave. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike him, and I agree he's a great actor who's doing his thing very, very well. I find that thing like a seasoning, but like a very fucking strong seasoning that I can only take a bit of because it is... I don't know why, it bristles me what he's doing here, and I get it, again, really funny for what he's doing, not my shtick.
I understand what you're saying.
But I get it. I get why people click into it. He is not my favorite part of this show or season, so like this being a very Dave-centric episode, it might be my least favorite for a lot of this. I like what happens in the later... with Dave. I don't know if it's the next episode. I need a refresher because I binged all of this last week and so it kind of jumbles together. Sorry, Sean, you're trying to say something.
I was just going to say, what I love about Dave is the fact that he sees through Todd's bullshit and will still just smile, nod, and try to fuck Todd over in every chance that he gets. And you know what? Todd has it fucking coming. And he has it coming.
This might be extrapolated out to the whole show. I feel like Todd as a character works best when he is butt up against people who are playing the straight man and really trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, and he's still just fucking digging his grave. It's when he's with Alice that I think he's really popping, because like Alice gives him every chance to not be this way. And he can't. And like that for me is like some of the funniest shit. Or we're getting into shit later. Later comes up stuff. But there are moments where like it's the people around him who are not like doing this bit. And it's like I really like Sarah Pasco as well in this. I don't know. I think she's a little bit too much when she's playing off him. I think it's a little, and I think Dave is somewhere in the middle between like the straight man and Sarah Pasco and what she's doing here. And he is just on that line enough where it's like a little bit goes a long way for him. And that's it for me. Though again, I completely get it.
There are certain characters in this that are taking advantage of Todd, whereas Todd is already going to bury himself on his own. It's unnecessary. But I obviously in a real world situation, there would be people taking advantage of somebody like this. So it makes sense. It's just... yeah, I understand where everybody's coming from on this one.
Yeah, it's just little preferences. But that said, it's still a 3.5 because it's still an enjoyable episode. And it builds to some really great shit later in the season. So it's worth sticking around for.
Much like Iron Man 2, this is the workhorse. This is laying all the breadcrumbs. Yes. And you're getting like the first interaction with the Turks. And you're getting, he lays the groundwork for this little girl with cancer that he gave blood to save. And then his nut allergy. All of this is happening in this episode and setting the stakes.
Dead tired.
So good. All right. Episode 3, the snooker player, the Black Canadian, the Turkish terrorist, and the peanut. Todd decides to launch Thunder Muscle with an advertisement featuring a celebrity endorsement. Dave sets up a meeting with a famous snooker player, Steve Davis. Fun fact, this is an actual famous snooker player.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Davis is playing himself. Meanwhile, Todd's relationship with Alice goes to the next level, dinner at her flat, which is where he meets Hudson and competes for Alice's affection. Let's kick it off with Ryan this time.
So this is when the series kind of clicks for me and starts to go into high gear. I think everything about this episode is great, but being the first one, I don't want to talk too much and take it up. But I think the fun, like, relationship dynamics, like, really start to kick in here. And, like, I love the jealous cringe shit. It's a lot of fun, and he only ramps it up. I think Steve Davis's inclusion, though I have no idea who this guy actually is. Great that he's actually a snooker player. I think this is the snooker. First, like, this is an event. This episode is an event. The buildup to Steve Davis and the shoot and the fallout with all of this, so fucking good. It is the first time where, like, there we go. This is a big payoff, and it's a really, really good payoff. I really, really, really enjoy this episode. There you go. Actually, I think I confused maybe the next one in this because the shoot is in four.
The shoot is right? in episode four.
That's fine. Consider that my review for three and four because they may as well just be a part one and part two. Again, these don't feel very much episodic as much. They do kind of just feel like a chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, which is great. I love it. I'm not
completely what was your score? But
I'm going to say a five. And this is going to carry over for four as well. Honestly, everything from here on out to five, I really think this show just clicks into place. And like it starts hitting the Arrested Development groups for me throughout. So there you go. Spoilers. Okay. I'm going to be five from out. Oh, with that, can I please hear from the newbie, Sean?
Oh, hey, May. Oh my. Yeah, this is where it really starts to crank up. I think that there are so many absolutely brilliant parts about this. The escalating relationship with Alice and Todd in this is just, man, every time I see him walk into that shop, my skin crawls a little bit because I'm like, man, you really shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be there. She should have a fucking police report, a restraining order against you. Like at this point, the amount of destruction that he's done, the amount that he owes her is insane. The whole buildup to and payoff of her. This is where he gets the liquor license for her.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Air quotes, gets the liquor license. And she's so impressed. That whole thing is ridiculous. Like him going and trying to bribe the licensing lady, and
but he doesn't know my who's God, on the money.
So good. But she's so thrilled that he got this for her that she offers to cook him dinner, and she's been talking for episodes about being really into gastronomy,
molecular gastronomy.
Yeah, the fancy stuff, and you get to see that in action here, and then. Of course, he's all depressed, starts eating a peanut. He's already made a scene in last episode about being allergic to it. So he shits his pants getting an epinephrine shot. Like, shits his pants. How can I
get this? And gets a massive hard-on.
Yeah, a massive rock-hard boner. And this may be next episode, but also blames it on Sarah Pascoe's character, Pam's kid, shitting his pants. Shitting in his pants. That he has sitting in the hallway. Like, that alone warrants at least a four, and I'm going to keep it at a four for this episode. And I'll send it to Kyle, because I haven't done that yet.
I do like the recurring joke that everywhere Todd Margaret goes, he smells like shit, and everybody comments on it. That's a great bit. Here's my divergence from what Ryan said a bit. And the reason I do like Dave is because Dave is so obviously fucking with Todd. On this rewatch, I don't get why the fuck Alice is still here. It really is like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, I get being nice, but at a point, like, come on, man.
In the first episode, when he just wouldn't stop also, kissing her hand.
I have seen real life relationships with women putting up with much worse for much longer. So I don't think that's a valid criticism.
I love him wearing the British white nationalist group in, and then she asked to help to get rid of the black pudding. And
the black pudding.
Doing that, wearing the shirt and saying, I'm not racist to the whole cafe. Great bit. That said, I do think this is the great buildup. I'm not as high as Ryan as well. I'm at a four though. We are increasing. We'll see if that trend does continue, but I do think this is a very, very solid four episode. And I love the buildup to Steve Davies. For a guy who's just a professional snooker player, not a bad actor. So that leaves us with you, I think, Brian?
Right? Yeah, that's right. I am in agreement with everything you guys have said so far. This episode is a blast. I love, like, the two biggest bits of this are obviously in the cafe with the white nationalist shirt and trying to act like he's not racist and just living in that moment for too long and just the cringe that it generates. It's so good. Also, at that dinner party slash date that Todd just refuses to leave. He just keeps hanging out and eventually goes and picks up the chocolates that he brought over for her because he dropped them when she thought the flowers were too much. So he just dropped them outside her door. Now he's kind of crashing this date between her and Hudson. And he brings the chocolates back in, sits down. And he's just popping them in his mouth. And they're like, wait, those are hazelnuts. You're allergic to nuts. And then he has to act like he's having an allergic reaction.
Oh, no.
Hudson happens to also have a nut allergy and has the EpiPen on him, hits him with it. And of course, that makes Todd start going absolutely nuts. And this is where I lose my shit because this is the funniest fucking physical comedy bit in the entire show. It's so good. And then they're like, oh no, it's not working. We got to hit him with a second one. And at this point, I'm about to piss my pants like Todd Margaret. I absolutely love this episode. It's so good. This one's getting a 5 from me.
Wow.
And then we move into episode 4, in which Brent Wiltz arrives and things take a turn for the worse. Just in time for Wiltz' arrival in London and demanding all of the money from Thunder Muscle sales, Todd oversees the filming of his commercial, and it seems he finally makes a breakthrough, but not quite. This is the episode where all the product goes missing, and then it turns out that Dave sold it, and then it turns out that the money is counterfeit. It's a whole thing. And I want to have Kyle kick this one off.
Oh, yay! Because I appreciate that. This is a fucking great episode. This is where we start to peak for me. I love Todd's assholishness to the boyfriend who is a director. And again, I don't understand the niceness of these people because he's still legitimate. He's like, hey, man, I'll come help you out if you want me to. He is a bit holding it above Todd's head, but also, Todd, you don't know what the fuck you're doing anyways. And again, it is the increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret. So, of course, everything he does is the wrong way. But I love the buildup with Steve Davies. Steve Davies drinking this god-awful drink and trying to pretend that it is good. This radioactive Russian energy drink that also looks like piss. Him beating him with the pool cue. I love how Todd's fucking injuries progress throughout the series, and you see him with these pool cue welts throughout the rest of the show. Great attention to detail. This is my, let's say, first 5 of the series. I do love the fuck out of this episode, primarily for the commercial and the Steve Davies bit, as well as Will Arnett being a complete perverted ass in front of Alice. Love that too. And I want to keep the trend going. Let's start with the new guy, Sean.
Let's go. I love Wilt's coming in here and actually being a part of the fold, and just how crass and awful and man.
What, just the girl you want a bone?
Yeah. It's even better with the reveal, and as this episode goes on, that you notice that things aren't quite as they appear with him, and then it gets to a point, I'm pretty sure in this, where it does reveal that he's also listening to those help. That's next episode.
How to be an asshole.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so never mind. I'll put a pin in that. But going back to that, him showing up and completely blowing up Todd's spot with Alice, and Alice just fucking ragging on him about, like, oh, so I'm not good enough to bang? And, like, that whole section, fantastic. Everything that's going on here is so good. And you can just sense the desperation in Todd with everything going missing and him trying to make everything right. And starting to notice that there's something different about Dave. Like, he hasn't revealed a lot about himself, and this is where you start to see a bit more about what's going on with him. Yeah, it's so good. And it is really ramping up. Like Kyle said, it's starting to ramp up. It's been ramping up. This is where it's starting to really hit its stride for me. Spoilers, I'm sure you guys can figure out what that means, but this is a 4.5 for me. And
oh, Ryan. Snap!
Did you say
so? Brian, I already said this is a
5
for me as well. Yeah. I really like the payoffs here. I've already talked about the snooker scene at the end, but I really love Alice saying, like, you really disappointed yourself today, Steve. You really disappointed yourself. I love a lot of this episode. I think this also has the recurring code a bit going back to the apartment again, and now the fucking biohazard scene it's become.
It's been in every episode up to this.
Oh, has it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Getting worse and worse.
It's just
worse.
This is the one where the people in the hazmat suits start coming yep. in, and it really yep. starts ramping up, and I love this. I love all of this. I don't think there's much else to say, because I've really kind of talked about this episode accidentally in episode 3. but everybody else said, like, this one's filled with great bits throughout. Like, every little scene they cut to has a solid to great bit in it. This is maybe a perfect episode of comedy, and it's absolutely the best episode that we've gotten yet in Todd and Margaret. So 5 for me.
It is not going to be a 5 for me, actually. I can't tell you why. I don't know why. I just don't think it's as good as episode 3, personally. But I do agree that the bits in this are phenomenal. The story progression is great. There is a part where he goes to get the money from the Turks, and he is sitting there, and they're like going through this bit about how, oh, there's only one check left in the checkbook. Well, but you're going to use that for your wife's operation. And they're waiting for Todd. Yeah, and they're waiting for Todd to be like,
that's my favorite of all the season, is that one bit.
He just sits there staring.
Can I get more tea?
Can I have more tea?
Can I get more tea? Phenomenal. I love that bit so
I love that
much.
He writes in the check and then rips it up.
And he's like, actually, for you, cash. And that's how we get the counterfeit money. But like, man, this is, it's so good. But it's definitely, you still feel the tension, the cringe, the ramping up, and it's a 4.5 for me.
I didn't want to step on this in case somebody else mentioned it, but this is also our first appearance of Mr. Spike Jones.
No, it was in episode one.
He was in first one.
Fired. He was in episode one.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was fired. He got fired. One.
I forget, but this is where he really shines in, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Spike Jones.
It's Spike Jones.
Also, I just wanted to get this in because I don't know where to put it, but I have this note that Todd Margaret is Nega Ted Lasso.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The anti-Ted Lasso.
Well, he's full of he's full of optimism and positivity, but he doesn't spread it at all.
And in fact, he takes it from other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gives so few fucks that he actually takes fucks from others.
Yep.
He's making them give a fuck for him. Yeah. Also, a fun fact, Steve Davis, famous former snooker player, now DJs, and his DJ name is DJ Thundermuscle.
That's great.
That is a great trivia fact that I did not know. That's awesome.
Yeah, he does use the name DJ Thundermuscle.
Well done, Steve Davies.
All right, episode 5. We're getting to it. The penultimate episode of the season. Where Todd and Brent misjudge the mood of a solemn day. With Wilts now maniacally demanding results, Todd finally takes initiative with a publicity stunt guaranteed to get Britain buzzing about Thundermuscle. Meanwhile, Todd's former boss, Doug, is embarking on an investigation into Wilts' past. So this is where we really get more of the Spike Jones. There's a lot that gets revealed in this one. And there's a lot that happens in probably the most cringy way possible. But why don't we have Ryan kick this one off?
So I've spilled my hand that this is also going to be a 5 because I think this is another one that clicks in. I don't want to talk too much about a lot of these things because I know Sean mentioned it earlier, but I do love the Brent reveal in this episode. I'm going to let him talk about it more, but I'm just going to echo preemptively what Sean says. Whatever Sean says, I agree with 100%.
I hate it.
Right. Oh,
100%.
I agree with it. 100%. I hate it. I hate it.
You fucking committed, bro.
Commit. This is another one. I think it's really good. Though, is it Remembrance Day? Mm-hmm. It's the solemn day that they're celebrating. I think this is really good bit, and that it goes on so long. Hilm and Will Arnett being assholes in this celebration. It is. They not only commit, they really just stick in it for a while. And it's uncomfortable. Not as uncomfortable as it gets in the next episode. That said, I still think this is like another, just like they keep finding new ways to ramp up the cringe while also ramping up the mysteries. And actually like having like an interesting mystery box kind of like narrative, like what's actually happening. It's a little interesting. So I don't know. I'm still at a 5 on this. I think this is really working and clicking, and it has not dipped since episode 3 for me. With that, let's hop to Brian.
Yeah, I have a few bullet points on this episode that I think are just, there's so much good stuff happening here. We find out about Brent, his reveal of you know, his fraudulentness that, again, we'll let Sean really dive into. And I'm going to also commit 100%
to agreeing. I'm not going to dive that far into it. You guys can talk.
With Sean about everything he's going to talk about ad nauseum about this reveal.
Fuck!
We have the great bit of Todd realizing that he needs to dress the part to impress Alice. So he goes...
I love that. Swerve.
And dresses up as Hudson, the black man that is dating Alice or used to date Alice and is back in the picture. And you expect it to go one way, but instead he shows up in full Canadian regalia.
Really well done.
So good. He's got his flannel and his hockey stick and asking about where he can get some maple syrup. It is.
He just wants a maple mousse.
A maple mousse. He also kicks a ball into a kid's face. Couple times.
It's been a while. I made a mess all over the face.
Oh my god. The way that it's like a carryover from the Tobias Funke character where he just says things in the worst possible way and it turns into an innuendo and he doesn't realize it. And it's such a good just David Cross bit.
Yeah.
It makes me very happy. We also find out that his cat is dead, his apartment is condemned, and I think, what did they say, 12 other people had to move out of the apartment building, and he's no longer welcome back. He's
wanted in America.
He's wanted.
Can't go home.
Yeah, and there's a big reveal at the end of this episode that I will leave to somebody else. I'm not going to be the one to ruin it, but... once Todd and Brent make it onto national television for their shenanigans at the Remembrance Day, there's a reveal at the end of the episode, which is
throws
everything into question. But this is just so much fun. In the way that if you find cringe humor fun, like if you like the dinner party episode of The Office, this is that ramped up to just ungodly levels. And it's a 5, and I will give it to Kyle.
Well, this should shock no one based on the way you just described it. Hands down, this is my favorite episode of the season, because of the extended cringe bath we take during the Remembrance Day parade and the moment of silence. This is the reason why Will Arnett, I do love his character so much, because he is just such a fucking piece of shit in this episode. When he's talking to the old guy about what medals he got, he's like, fuck this old geezer. And then Todd's trying to talk to the kid in the wheelchair, and he's like, this kid doesn't have cancer. Or he doesn't have AIDS. Could be cancer. Ah, fuck it. Again, just brilliance. I really, really love it. It's my favorite. Again, I love Spike Jonze in this episode. I don't want to give away the ending either.
You guys are leaving a lot to me. Fuck.
No, I know.
It's really only two things.
Oh, this also does have, I love that this has the bit with not only Pam in the bathtub. Is this also the one that she gives birth, or is that the last one?
That's she gives birth one. In this one. Does it? Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
It isn't the last one? I thought it was this one, because he comes home too. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Anyway, that...
The end of these episodes and the beginning of the episodes really blend
together. They do
all
meld together. It is
the chapters. It is brilliant storytelling. Non-episodic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, being my favorite, this is also another standout and another five from me. It's a great, great, great episode. I love you, Will Arnett. Sean?
We have some really great reveals in this episode that have been graciously for the last three guests, the last three hosts, just lining them up for me. But we have two really great reveals here. One, that Brent Wilts, Will Arnett's character, is not the big shot that we think that he is. He is just another temp, like Todd Margaret, who basically got lackeyed up. And unfortunately for Todd, Brent got lackeyed up, but he was smart enough to get another lackey to lackey up to take care of this whole poisonous, toxic energy drink fiasco that's going on. And just lackeys, it's lackception here. And Brent just, he was just a nice guy that was just trying to be harder. And now he's too far in that role. Too far in there, and he's getting desperate. He needs that money. He needs that money, man. Needs that money, man. And also, Todd's dad's alive. Todd's dad is not shocker dead, like he so clearly made up in the first 3 minutes of the show. Surprise! I am not nearly as high on this show as you are. Oh, there's actually a third reveal, and that the Turks were... they were acquiring this energy drink because they're making basically like nukes out of it.
Yep, because it has like plutonium or whatever. It's radioactive.
Yeah, it's very toxic, very radioactive, and so that's the third reveal coming out of this episode. Besides him not being able to go home, I am not nearly as high on this episode, and I don't know why. I think Ryan put it this way earlier, and that these episodes all kind of really blend together, but that's not a bad thing. I love that it's just like this one big long arc. They're 20 minute long episodes, six of them. That's like the length of a movie, and it honestly, the way it plays out, it could just be laid out like a movie, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with it. And this would, in my head, I'd have a blocking point and I'd be like, I didn't like that nearly as much as I did the previous little blocking segment. And that's how I feel here, that I don't, for some reason, look back on it and enjoy it as much as I did four. And I honestly didn't find this episode nearly as cringy as like the other episodes. Like that parade for me was, there was not a lot of lingering on there. And the dynamic of Todd and Brent's character together kind of took some of the cringiness out of it, because it was a little bit slappier for me and not as like lingering and making my skin crawl as like Todd's character so often did in this. So for that, I am going to drop this down to a four. So this one's a four for me.
Well put.
And also, I think this is the episode that we see him pull out his wallet, and he's got that novelty like four picture shot that you can get with friends of him with the very drunk and very passed out girl that he was breaking up with or trying to leave or whatever, that she just hooked up with him once. So He's holding on to this memory of him having fucked a drunk, passed out girl.
It's his real life wife, by the way, which just is another great. I love when people have that happen.
That's fantastic.
Amber Tamblyn.
Like and Charlie then her father and the waitress.
Is his father.
Is his father, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I actually love when they flash back to her and she's like, "You mean the crying guy? I forgot that I slept with
him." Oh, yeah, I did fuck him.
So good. Like, she doesn't even remember this guy. And he's like, "I don't know. I think my girlfriend back home might not approve."
Yeah. He's so, gross. And he's like, so
gross.
Someone, when Kyle, you, I think you had stepped out earlier to go to the bathroom or something, but there's like the dynamic, the power dynamic with Dave. And then it gets to this scene. And that's where it came into focus for me, where I'm like, man, he just has a power thing. Like, he needs his self-help in his day-to-day, but if he's ever in a position of power, he is a scumbag. He is so bad.
This is also the episode where Dave sets up the porno shoot at the office, right?
That might be a black guy in my life. Here. We get the Brent flashback because I think it's more showing like power corrupts anybody. Like, nobody's... Mm-hmm. Everybody's fallible. Well, power does that to everybody. Like,
but the thing with Stephanie is that she was before all of that anyways, so he didn't even have that power. He already has that issue with control and power to begin with. Before he goes overseas.
You can look at it in a power control way, that kind of relationship, whereas I saw it more as this like sad sack loser who like doesn't know better, and this is the best he can do is just hope.
I think
for like any kind of scrap of affection from somebody, even if they're drunk and literally don't care about him. He's just like
highlighted too by the self-help tapes. I think the self-help tapes highlight that because, you know, you have Brent listening to how to be an asshole, but you have Todd Margaret listening to don't be a pussy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just feel like
it's a subtle difference, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. There's like a through line of this, of him being unable to take no for an answer.
I do think that becomes a point. And I don't know if that's it. Inherent to Todd Margaret, or it's something that develops. If it is there, it's, for me, there was not enough evidence.
She literally, in the first episode, when he's like, "I've got to go over," she goes, "I fucked you once, like 3 months ago. That doesn't mean we're dating." And he is now still, episodes later, referring to her as his girlfriend. Like, he is so delusional and cannot take no for an answer.
I don't know if it's not taking no for an answer or just not being able to admit he's wrong.
It's the lying thing, like the not being able to lie. Having to escape reality at any cost because you hate your reality that much. Like, he is just going to live in this lie and make whatever delusion like reality now.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's honestly, it's a fantastic fucking character study. I love it, and I love all the times they give him the chance to change and like not be this character and to break out of it, and he just cannot.
Is it either this one or the next one where Alice is literally like, "Todd, just stop lying.
Might be the next one.
Have to keep doing this. I know you're making this up." And she like literally gives him the choice right there.
And he's
like,
does it.
It's like, no, I'm moving in. This is
a perfect segue into that.
It is a perfect segue. Episode 6, what can only be considered a dreadful day for Todd. Todd's world is falling apart, so he makes a final desperate bid for Alice's affections with even more spectacular lies. The various calamities Todd has embroiled himself are starting to come to a head. This is an episode where Todd swears he has an apartment in the House of Parliament. And Alice is like, "You don't have a place in the House of Parliament. You have to know that's the House of Parliament, and you are lying right now, and I know you're lying, and you don't have to do this." And he still says, "No, come by tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and I'll be right there in 5J or whatever it is."
Weird, they actually turned a wing into apartments of Parliament.
I don't think it's all houses. I think some of it's apartments. which just leads to I know I already said I had a favorite bit of this show when we talked about the EpiPens, but my actual favorite bit of this show, of this season, when he goes on a tour of Parliament, and the tour he joins is a deaf tour, and he pretends to be deaf.
And which Dave sets him up for.
Oh my God. Fantastic. It's so bad. It's so cringe. It's so good. And like, eventually you find out that the person running the tour is not deaf and knows that he is pretending, and he still commits. It's just, it's so bad. It's so good. I laughed incredibly hard. There's a whole bunch more that happens, but I'm not going to take up all of it because this is a huge episode. Basically, shit gets bad for Todd here. And I'm going to just give it my 5 and push it off to somebody else. Who wants it? Come and get it. I'll give it to Sean.
Give it to Sean.
Every episode leading up to this has led up to this, has led up to this moment, has led up to... right? Has led up to this moment, and which is probably one of my favorite episodes of television that I've watched in a very long time. That I don't know what it says about... I do know what it says about me. That my favorite episode
I know what
of the In-Betweeners was the folks with the down something, and this is the one with the down. dudes. That is one of the funniest things I've seen in so long. That he is just actively trying to sign. And then when he's got the tour guide and he's signing, he's just like, I don't know what they're doing. And he's like talking like he's deaf. And I'm just like, dude, you are such a piece of shit. Like, oh my fucking God. Like, oh my God, I can't help but smile just thinking about this episode. Everything about this is, everything just came to such a perfect head. And the way that this ends with his dad showing up after him getting arrested and Alice showing up and being like, holy fuck, he did it. He actually did it. Todd, come down. Calm down. Like, she still knows, like, this motherfucker broke in. He did something illegal to be doing this. Like, there is not an apartment in there. Like, calm down before you're caught. And of course, he is caught. He has some house dude. He's in the office of a house dude who's hanging an auto asphyxiated, like, dead on the door. Like, oh, the way this episode ends.
I'll come to you.
It has me... Like, I just want to watch season 2. And Sarah can hang out in there. Like, I will watch this in my own time. While she's sleeping, I'll have it on my phone. I'm, you know, just playing next to my bed, just giggling to myself. This had me so hyped to just start season 2. This is the highest of 5s that I can give this.
It was so hard not to immediately roll into season 2.
Like, Jesus Christ. Kyle.
Yeah, it sucks because having seen all of it, I would love, there's so much to talk about, but I don't want to spoil things for you. So that's been one of the hardest things of recording this episode, is not being like, oh yeah, but that's because...
Right.
Oh wait, but of course, once you... Yeah, so I was also going to ask Sean, have you ever seen the IT Crowd?
I've seen, it was a very long time ago. I think I've only seen one season.
That is probably still my favorite pretending to have a disability bit. But this is a very close second.
Oh my God, dude. I'm never going to forget this episode.
It's especially, ever. For me, the first part was funny. But the funniest part is when the dude opens the toilet and he just is poopy, pretending that he has to make a poo-poo. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. And closes. That's what fucking broke me real good.
Oh my God.
I enjoyed all of the Parliament bits. I enjoyed... a somewhat of an eye-opening thing about Doug, if you paid attention, at the end of the last episode, or say Dave, Doug or Dave. I'm sorry, not Doug. Okay. You learn about Dave. And yep. All that to say, I really like this episode. I like the previous two episodes better, so this one does drop for me a bit to just a 4.5. And I also can't explain why. It's just one of those vibes things. But that's where I'm at. And that gives us Ryan to close us out, which I forget what you said you gave this
one. Give me a 5 as well. I agree with Sean, though. I think this ends on a real strong note. I think it ends the season on a very, very strong note. I think it pays off a lot of things while also creating a lot of interesting threads going forward. It doesn't wrap it
the
up.
Alice rape kit.
It's
so, oh my god, the great Alice's drapes for the kitchen.
Blood, like, on it too, that he's like barely cleaned take off. Like,
bump, it's, I'm back. That's a 5. I'm 5. I forgot about Alice's rape kit.
There's so many things like that. I hate it. I don't hate it. No, actually, fuck it. Kudos to David Cross, because like everybody's like, oh, you can't do anything in comedy anymore. You can't be offensive. Like, no, you can if you're actually funny. And have talent, you don't get canceled. It's when you don't have talent, they don't fucking care about you, because this might be one of the most offensive things I've seen in a long time, but I also laugh like the fucking devil and had a really good, like, ethical thought on it. I was like, I still think it's really funny because, like, at the end of the day, we're laughing at what a dick he is and how
never romanticized.
Much he doubles down on just, like, again, he has a few outs to not do it this way, and he just doubles down. He didn't have to walk up to the podium. He does. As soon as, like, the tour guide calls him over, and it's like, hey, I know what you're doing. And he goes, oh, you're no deaf? But keeps he up the bit.
Congratulations.
It's just like, dude, for like you can,
3 or 4.
You can walk away. You have every chance, and that's what's funny, is the that's doubling the down on the increasingly bad decisions. And it's why it's, this might be like the episode that like theses the character the best. I love this episode. This is another just perfect 5. I think this is a perfect episode of comedy. Another solid one to end on.
Man, the Alice rape kit is just...
Yes. That right there, the fact that, okay, so listeners, if you didn't pause this and go watch this and then come back and listen to this, man. One, you made a mistake, but two, that said her drape kit or something like that to help
drapes
her.
Drapes for kitchen.
Kitchen.
Drapes for kitchen.
But again, but he writes
kitchen. Covered
I love
in
that.
Blood from Pam giving birth in his apartment.
On his
which
bed.
The previous episode, he goes, did you clean up? And she goes, I'm a new mom. Like, why? I don't have time for that. And then she goes bring the kids partying. Like, she's the fucking worst. But this box is covered in her blood from the birth. It's like,
There's a shot.
Wiped off the letters D and S from drapes and the C-H-E-N from kitchen. Uh-huh. So it just says Alice rape kit.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. There's a shot of Will Arnett going to town on her while breastfeeding still.
Well, yes.
Which is maybe great. Like also just like, wow, things I never thought I'd see in a comedy.
In a room so that's covered funny. With her birth blood. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man.
That is, you know, that's a sentence that's never going to be said again until I listen to this and then say it out loud.
Hey,
and
tie that back again. Mm-hmm.
And that is the first season of The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret.
And our second British television season.
Our second British television series.
I love it.
Probably not our last, because that's a sweet spot for me.
You just said something at the end of the episode 6, where you're like, comedians say you can't be crude or anymore. You know, you can't push it too far. I was honestly really surprised when Brian kicked this off and said that this was from 2010, because I thought this was at least from like 2006, 2007, because it does push it like very far in some directions, very far. And, knowing it came out in 2010, you're right, Ryan, like you can get away with putting this stuff out if you're funny about it, if you're smart about it, if you're not like, I think of David Cross and I don't immediately think, wow, that guy's a shitbag. No, he's a smart guy that knows how to craft something that can be very off limits to people and do it in a smart way.
Yeah. And he definitely, I think he built the character up in a way that he earned the joke.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't pull this joke off in maybe the second episode. He saves it wisely for the finale.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think it even also, I think he benefits from not a lot of people being able to get away with this, because so much of it is from the shock of being able to see that.
Sure.
And I mean, this was, I don't know where this aired, but this is a very,
like, very IFC show. Original? I thought it was IFC. Because okay. I would watch this in Comedy IFC. Bang
This was
Bang.
A UK show for the okay, first two it? Seasons. IFC picked so it up for the obscene. Third season.
It was IFC and three. Channel 4, right? Right.
How did Channel 4 air this?
Well, nothing's
the Brits push the edge more than we push the edge. It's not even a contest.
I get that, but man, this show is profanity laden.
But what, they're not real swears in the UK.
When was Inbetweeners? same time was it pretty this similar? Was, time,
Inbetweeners
right?
was a couple years before. A
couple years before,
I thought it was like 2006, 7, 8.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah.
Inbetweeners.
I also, we didn't touch on it. I really fucking love the theme song. Incredibly catchy.
Yes,
the nights
dude.
Are yeah. short and the days are long. Got stuck in my head yep. every time.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Very excited stuff. To get to watch season two.
What's yeah. our score Hi, come out to, Brad Guy?
Our score. Well, let me first tell you about the way other people received this one. Rotten Tomatoes, 64 critical, 86 audience for this season. Which is interesting. Right. 7.5 on IMDb, 66 on Metacritic, and a 3.73 on whatever that service is that's like the letterboxed for TV shows. I've already forgotten what it is.
So
serialized.
Serialized.
I had to Google it as I was riffing.
Mailbox.
So, you know, it was steadily in the high 60s, 70s area. We gave it an 86.25.
Yeah, that sounds right for this crowd.
You know what? It's clued to our sensibilities. We like.
Yeah.
It's my target.
We like it a cringe, I guess.
We like it a zouge.
We like it a cringe. I am very surprised at its IMDb rating.
Yeah.
But also, I just went back and looked at the Inbetweeners, and that's an 8.4. So,
yes.
I guess I'm not that surprised, and I'm more surprised at the Inbetweeners. Fuck, that's high.
Great stuff.
Fantastic show.
I kind of agree.
Do recommend.
I feel like I was much more critical on the Inbetweeners.
I agree.
Same. I did not like the Inbetweeners nearly as much as you guys did as a fresh. I enjoyed this.
Yeah,
exponentially more than I enjoyed the Inbetweeners.
Yeah, yeah. Again, Shades of Arrested Development.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh my god, you guys referenced it, but the bits at the end of every single episode where it started with like the cat eating the tuna, and there's an extra cat, and then the next episode, one of the cats was dead, and then two of the cats were dead, and then there was a dead dog, and then the hazmat, and then the hazmat suits. And oh my god, the escalation of that honestly just paralleled the escalation of everything else that was going on.
And the way that it all ends with everybody in Todd's apartment and all like looking at him like, what the fuck is happening here, man? You're so messed up. This is all so weird. And then his dad walks in just that moment. It's so good because it's like, oh, so you've been full of shit this whole time. And he's like, oh, ghost.
Oh, it can be worse, huh?
It's so good. Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
I'm so glad that you brought this.
Yes. I had forgotten all about the show. I had seen it all three seasons. Once it started airing on IFC, I caught up. Loved it. forgot all about it. So this was a brilliant blast from the past. Like, I am so glad this is now back in my consciousness again.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Are you going to plan? Are you planning on watching the other two seasons?
Probably. Probably. Just because I want they're to not as well. Long either. Six episode seasons are nice.
They're not. I also remember not liking the third season. So I want to give that another go around too.
I remember thinking, how could they possibly? And then going, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So.
Hmm. Okay. 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 Well, Ryan, I can't imagine season two is your pick for next week, but it is your pick for next week. And I am curious as to what it's going to be.
Weirdly, we're going to hop to season three of Todd Martin.
That is so fucked up. That is fucked up. We're going to Tarantino it.
No, I'm going to forgo my pick and do a Patreon request from our own Mr. Micah Pertle. He wants to watch the movie Ready, or he wants us to watch the movie Ready or Not and talk about it. And since I love that movie, I was like, why the fuck not?
Ready Player One.
Let's do it. Nah, dog. He wouldn't do that to us because he's a dude. He's a dude.
He would do that to us. And I enjoy that movie, so I'm a little let down.
Well, I'm sorry. It's Ready or Not, and you can blame Micah.
I actually
last Micah movie we did, I didn't like, and I think it upset him a lot. So,
what was the last?
Was that movie? Robin Williams paint movie?
Oh, because it was not very good.
Yeah, was not good at all.
Never should reopen an old wound.
I stick by it. It was pretty probably in 97 or 98 when it came out. Did not age well visually, and that's all it had. It's like probably watching Sucker Punch right now.
Mm-hmm. Brian Kyle, probably not seen, good. Have you seen Ready or Not?
I have not.
I haven't either.
But I know people are pretty hyped for the sequel.
I think you guys will enjoy it. So
I do too. As somebody who does not like horror, I think this is the one with
the family that's trying to kill the new girl. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I've heard about it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I had no idea there was a second one. But
on hide and seek. This is one of the movies where they're like, we've got the right make a hide and seek movie. And they did, and somehow it turned out good.
Somehow it worked. So but that's not for now. That's for next week. I look forward to that, Ryan. Listeners. If you enjoy what we do, if you enjoy it enough to, I don't know, toss in a buck or $1,000, you can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/experiencegrind. Or if you just want everything all in one spot and to make it easy, just go to experiencegrind.com. There's links for the Patreon. There's links for the Discord. Don't know so why we've been futzing around with this for so many years. I put the links up. After last week's episode, they are there. Go find the links to all of that stuff, and we will see you in the Discord. But Brian, go ahead and take us out.
All right. Well, listeners, why don't you go sell some Thunder Muscle, you fucking bitch-ass assholes.
Needle dick.
Needle dick.
Douche nozzle.
You got a favorite, Ryan?